Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be cloudy, cooler, breezy, with a high around 48. Kenosha right now is at 39 degrees. It's 35 in Burlington, Milwaukee 42, 41 in Racine. The bond rating company Standard & Poor's reduced the Racine Water Utilities rating to match the city's for lack of significant community growth the last three decades, along with some other financial factors. Future borrowing or bonding by the utility was also put at risk unless a rate case was submitted to the Public Service Commission. That's what happened.
Obviously, the ability not to borrow money for a large corporation like the water utility is concerning. So we had little choice but to go to the Public Service Commission this year for a water rate increase. So we applied for a water rate increase in March of 2017. We went through the motions with the PSC, and in September we were granted a rate order from the Public Service Commission on the neighborhood of about 7 to 10%, depending on how much water you use.
That reality explained to the alderman during budget review by utility general manager Keith Haas, who said the increase okayed by the PSC means for him another $4.50 per quarter. As for the Foxconn situation, Koss said that that would require about $100 million worth of water mains, which would be paid mostly through Mount Pleasant's TIF district. He acknowledged the rates could drop with Foxconn, but also looming in the horizon, he said, would wipe out any savings, EPA mandates on replacing lead pipes. Now, wastewater rates in general are going to be up about 2%. For him, that's about 75 cents per quarter on his bill. Foxconn service requirement kind of open at this point, could be tied to Mount Pleasant's capacity level and potential facilities expansion. A resolution that allows the limited jurisdictional transfer of a number of county and Mount Pleasant Village roads to the state to allow those to be reconstructed and serve the Foxconn development got okayed by the Racine County Board last night. Director of Public Works and Development Services, Julie Anderson, explained it's really a perfect example of cooperation between various levels of government and the private sector. Said under this agreement, the DOT will assume jurisdiction over and pay for the needed improvements.
WISDOT will return jurisdiction of the roadways back to the village and the county after the roadway improvements have been completed. The anticipated completion date is January 1 of 2021. Local governments will continue to perform routine maintenance, including snow plowing, mowing, permitting, and signing during the WISDOT ownership.
She said the agreement will also allow for better coordination between Foxconn-related and other local road projects. The Mount Pleasant Village Board approved basically the same agreement at their meeting on Monday. Those who spoke at last night's public hearing on the proposed Racine County budget for next year really only just praised the various charitable and nonprofit organization donations that were included by County Executive Jonathan Delagrave. One of them was Veterans Outreach James Peterson Tiny Home, Village of Racine's Fiona Murphy, thanking Delagrave for including $50,000 in his budget.
It is absolutely unheard of in 18 months that a project like this could go from start to finish. So I'm extremely proud of Racine County and extremely grateful that County Executive Delagrave came out and toured the property, asked the questions, and saw the real value that this is providing. It is a real partnership with Racine County, and it's an example that's been getting attention across the country.
The Continuum of Care's Ron Thomas thanking Delagrave for his $100,000 allocation to the Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization. The Finance and Human Resources Committee is going to review the budget at a meeting Tuesday evening for a final vote of the full board on November 7th. Speaking of money, a reallocation of funding okayed by the Racine County Board last night is going to mean some additional dollars for a program that helps entrepreneurs start up new businesses. Supervisor Bob Miller said that by transferring $17,500 from a matching grant program managed by the county's Economic Development Corporation, putting it over to Gateway Technical College and the Launchbox Growth Accelerator Program, Gateway could then secure a grant for $80,000 from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
All this teamwork and just reallocating this amount of money will result in many more citizens being able to go through a program that will help them start their businesses and be successful. So it's truly a great example of cooperation and collaboration.
The transfer of that funding was approved unanimously. Mark Yaniak has returned to municipal government service, named this week as the new administrator for the Village of Union Grove. That position, 10 years since it's been filled, it was created about 20 years ago. The Union Grove Board voting 6-1 to hire Yaniak, who in the past has been the administrator in the villages of Caledonia and Sturtevant, and before that he was Racine County's Corporation Counsel for 25 years. And in Mount Pleasant, a new 5-year contract okayed with Assessor Dan McHugh. He's going to begin a comprehensive reevaluation of all the village's property beginning next year. Claude Lois, working on the Foxconn project, says it's common for larger municipalities to revalue their values on a regular basis to avoid big spikes in assessments. Also important, he said, to maintain equity for all village residents.
To make it sure that it's fair for all of your residents, that everyone's paying their fair share, you want to stay at 100%. Once you start falling below that, then is where the inequity comes into place as far as revenue.
McHugh's contract calls for a payment of $165,000 in the first year, up to $175,000 by year five. Contract approved unanimously. A trial date has now been set for a Kenosha teenager accused of murdering another teen and leaving her body along a roadway in Mount Pleasant. 19-year-old Daniel Tate accused of strangling 17-year-old Olivia McKay on a Kenosha beach in July. Her body found along Louis Sorensen Road by the folks in that area. Tate charged with first-degree intentional homicide, hiding a corpse, and operating a motor vehicle without owner consent. Kenosha Judge Bruce Schrader scheduling Tate's trial for May the 21st, a status conference scheduled for late in January. 17-year-old Jamari Cook also facing charges referenced the death. He told police that he helped put the victim's body into her car. Tate then proceeded to drive it around. Cook charged with hiding a corpse and the vehicle's theft. His trial has been scheduled also for May. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department's investigating some kind of an assault or battery scenario from earlier this morning from which a woman was taken to Frederick Hospital by Flight for Life. The address listed in the call, which also brought Summers Rescue to the scene on the city of Kenosha's northwest border with the village, city fire crews setting up a landing zone at Bradford High School for the helicopter. Fire engulfed a car not far from a garage and a home in the 6700 block of 103rd Avenue in Kenosha this morning. Same 911 caller told dispatch a few minutes later there were explosions with the fire. First City unit on scene confirming intense flames, and that led to a response that included protecting both those structures. City of Racine's fire department, a lot of irons in the fire these days, so to speak. You've got retirements, you've got a new candidates list coming, a pending labor agreement, plans for a new South Side station, fairly new home visitation program. The accreditation process, by the way, also underway. That's big for the department. Here's Chief Steve Hansen talking about that.
Part of the process is assessing the community for hazards, what we call target hazards. What are our target hazards in the community, and how do we best prepare to take care of those target hazards? If you look at McMinn Towers, you have a facility that has approximately 180 residents, and most of them are disabled. If we were to have a fire or other type of medical emergency in that building where we had to evacuate the building, how do you do that with 35 on-duty firefighters?
Fire department's getting a new truck in about a week, he said, and also the next one should be about 2 years off, so they won't have to buy one for those 2 years. But there is the ongoing replacement of rescue squads. Public hearing for the 2018 City of Racine budget, that's coming up next Monday night. Situation involving Racine's Sam and Lori Azarian. Azarian Wrecking Sam Cement. They run a business. They're over now at 1535 High Street. They put in a conditional use permit for a 12 by 60 foot trailer at that location, using it as office space. Doesn't meet design standards. City wants it removed after 6 months if the permit is to be approved. City Plan Commission heard about it this week. Sam Azarian first offering some verbal shots at the city's handling of their forced move from the Machinery Row site, and then seeming lack of flexibility on the trailer that nobody can see from the street, he said, and was a budgetary decision.
If I had the money to do it, I'd make it look like the Taj Mahal. I'd build an office building. We just don't have the money to do it right now. We're barely getting by. We're starting to come along. We're starting to get built back to where we used to be, but we're not there yet. So what I'm asking is just work with us. We're willing to work with you. We'll do anything that you ask within reason, you know. But we can't just pull money from the air and say, hey, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Lead city planner Matt Sadowski pointed out the trailer was put there before the requested amendment was made. It's only the issue of contention. The trailer on the nearby Metzger Steel site was there before the city's design standards were in place. Azarian claiming that's what led him to believe it was okay to put the trailer on his site. Conditional use deferred so that the Azarians can come back to the city in 6 weeks with a proposal to try to deal with the trailer. The possibility of developing a skate park in the village of Sturtevant being considered and researched now by one of the trustees. During the continual committee meetings this week, Carrie Harbach said that she's been considering this idea for a couple of years, wanted to plant the seed, in her words, with her fellow board members, noting that maybe East Park would be a good site. But she said she found that the average price for building such a park is about $45 a square foot. Meanwhile, she indicated that she's maybe found something a little bit better in terms of the cost.
I did find someone that I'm talking to now that is willing to do it between $25 and $30 a square foot, donate some time, so on and so forth, just preliminary, tossing ideas around.
Meanwhile, other trustees did express an interest in learning more about it. Harbach said she'd be coming back with more information. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. Our newscasts are there in the local news section throughout the day. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.